Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to executiveleadersradio.com. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Jake Leone, Corporate Interiors, Pat McGowan, Maximus, Andrew Plumley, Wisfis Bank, and Rory O'Hara, Osperity, with Brandon Rost, B Marketing. And Rory, could you give us a rundown on who we have on the air today, please?
Yeah, Herb, we have a great show. We're going to start off with Dan Moscatello, the owner and general manager of the Training Center, followed by Dan DiRio, the CEO of Think Forward. We're then going to talk with Jeff Mesko, partner and Philadelphia market leader at Armanino. And we're going to finish today with Marty Judge, the founder of the Judge Group. We also have a special spotlight guest today, Alex Gernchenko, the managing member of Doodle.
Thank you. Let's get to our first guest, Dan Moscatello, owner and general manager of the Training Center. Dan, what is the Training Center? What are you guys doing?
Training Center trains over 3,000 students annually in online and in-person certifications. Bottom line, we help people build careers, not jobs, but careers. That's what we want to do with the Training Center.
Perfect. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm oldest of four, lived right outside of Trenton, New Jersey. And yeah.
8 to 14. What were you doing 8 to 14 years old? What were you doing as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, a lot great childhood kid growing up in the 80s. I mean, Boy Scouts, ice hockey, swim club. I my first job was at a produce stand, did that for a while. Mm-hmm. A lot of outside activity, a lot of socialization. It was great.
A lot of socialization, huh? All right, you like people. Brandon, you want to give me a hand, please? Getting to know
Dan?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Hey, Dan, how you doing? What was the conversation like around the dinner table about work ethic that you still carry today?
Oh, boy. You know, my father was such a hard worker. He was a teacher. He was an engineer. And it was filled with, you know, grandparents, uncles, all in the space of trade. So we learned about energy. We learned about the systems. And it was great for me as a young man. I was able to learn all this much quicker than I felt like other peers, because he had the advantage of having all that experience around the table.
Gotcha. Rory?
Yeah, Dan, you mentioned that you started off at a produce stand. So what did that experience teach you that still shows up today in how you run the Training Center?
Oh, it was an amazing experience in the sense of applying hard work. I mean, that was an epic part of it. I mean, you're like this little guy throwing 50-pound bagged potatoes on a up 20 feet. But I think I taught a lot of the right things to do and what not to do as well. You're around individuals that taught you what happens when you make a lot of mistakes in your life and don't do that. But today it translates to hard work as the bottom line and what I took from that experience.
Gotcha, Pat.
Yeah, Dan, we talked about the Training Center being third generation. Just curious how young you were when you knew joining the family business was sort of in your blood.
As a teenager through high school, I was helping my father. I piggybacked off of his passion for it and the difference he was making in people's lives. And, you know, from passing out papers to helping them grade tests, it was inspirational. I was passionate about it right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew?
Yeah, thanks. Well, I would love to know a little bit more about your childhood. You're the oldest of four, you know, very close with your siblings. Talk me through your role as the oldest and in the family and how that correlates to running your business today.
Yeah, I mean, it was you learn a lot about leadership through a combination of sports and having strong family values. How do you inspire somebody to be the best version of themselves? And I think that was one of the roles I had as the oldest, and I think that translated really well into what I do today.
Jake?
Yeah, Dan, we talked a lot about your influences, experiences, your drive, but how does that contribute to how you approach the students there at the Training Center?
Yeah, we have a core value at the Training Center, which is how do we help people build careers? They have to trust us when they're giving us funds for tuition and all that. And so what we try to do is give them the best value proposition by doing the right thing by them. And that's what feeds into our family-run community. I don't even like to really call it a business. I like to call it an organization to help people build careers. And those values have instilled in all of our team members here.
Mm-hmm. Brandon?
Yeah, Dan, you've created a grant, which is awesome. What did you learn early in life about who gets opportunities and who doesn't that drives how you invest in your students today?
Yeah, we try to create a lot of opportunities for those that, are less fortunate so they can have a path into some prosperity. So we do that in a combination of ways. Grants, one of them. We offer in-house tuition reductions for individuals that apply themselves the right way or have hardships, and that does well for our brand, and it does well for the stories that come after.
That's great. What like early on, like what made you drive and start that grant? Like what
Well,
when in your younger years? Yeah.
I mean, it was a couple of things. But first, one of the big impacts in my life was my father was always helping people build careers, one of our mottos. And for me, side by side, as being young and being well coached, knowledgeable in the space, I, was working with him, and he had a student that was not particularly the smartest guy. This guy was not the brightest person in the space, and I could pick that up as a young man knowing the space well. I take him to the side. I'm like, "Dad, we can't help this guy get a license and a job. That's no good. He can't do the job." He shut me up, smacks me in the hand, says, "Be quiet. He's got four kids. He's got a wife at home. He's got to put food on the table. We're going to help him get a job, and then we're going to help him be successful in the job. He can do it." And that transformed me. That was a maturity step up right away, where I thought I just viewed the whole school differently. I understood what he was doing. And then I watched him his whole life get people jobs and offer them a path to prosperity. It was very
That's great.
inspiring.
Thanks. That's awesome.
So is that fundamental thought about you're going to help people get a job and be successful in their career? That's what separates you from any competition, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, we do build our programs from the field in, so that when students come to us, they're getting all the skills they need. So when they do go out and explore the job market, they're selling those skills to their employers, and we're seeing a tremendous success rate in their hiring.
So
Absolutely.
this is not just a job for you. This is or a business. So you really care about your people. Rory, what are you thinking? Where are you? What are you picking up, Rory?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the success of the company is built on the success of each individual employee, and that's where you spend your time and effort. Where does that come from? Where's that theme, really foundationally built?
It's that combination of strong family values. It's a family-run organization, but we treat all of our team members as owners, and they have the same inspiration. I mean, it's really rewarding work when you're helping somebody have a pathway to that prosperity or career in a space, and particularly in trade space right now, which is underserved and has major shortages. It becomes more than you're not just coming to work. You're having a lot of fun when you're having success. So it's
And
great.
how many folks are you able to help a year get careers? How many people are going through your school each year?
We process over 3,000, but as far as building the technical career part of it, we do about 200 to 400, and that range varies depending on the scheduling of the programs per year. So it makes an impact here in our local community.
You ever said, is there more of a demand or less of a demand for your services nowadays?
Herb, there's a massive demand. I mean, we have a little bit of a crisis. I mean, first, it was the millennial generation that were not college. They were all college bound, and nobody really went to the trades, combined with the boomer generation retiring out at a fast age in the trades. So you have all that legacy knowledge that's coming out of it. We neglected infrastructure in this country, combined with the shortage. And then there's other aspects that are impacting the generation today, the youth, and that's screen time and cell phone use. And of course, now you have AI into play, and it's messing up the job market. So trades are a staple now where there's security around it, and it's great discipline. There are great jobs. They pay well. You don't have to get in a lot of debt in a college degree. We have an expansion facility we're going to open that's 25,000 square feet that will then service over 1,000 students per year to build trades. And that's what we're really excited about. That's happening this year, and we're in the process of it now. Super excited about the future and doing it right.
And you're in the greater Philadelphia area. You're planning to expand?
Yeah, it's right in Central Jersey is the expansion area we're looking at, and Branchburg, New Jersey specifically, and it's 25,000 foot flagship
Excellent.
facility we're building.
What's the website address for this organization known as the Training Center?
Yeah, www.thetrainingcenter.com.
We've been speaking with Dan Moscatello, who's the owner and general manager of an organization known as the Training Center. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. And your name and organization is?
Alex Garashenko, Doodle.
And what makes the organization special, Alex?
We've been building software since 2012, and now with what's available with artificial intelligence, we're building it live with our clients. We're creating prototypes as we speak to them. We have engineers, which we now call genies, because they're actually making magic happen. As we talk to them and discover the problems in their business, we're actually building them live on the back end. We show them the prototype that we create while we're on the call with them, and then we iterate from there.
So you're actually building artificial intelligence software applications for your clients. And you also mentioned to me that you'll make a deal with them that if you can't do it, you'll actually pay them because you have so much confidence in your technical abilities. What's the website address for this organization?
That's our 1K challenge. In the 1K challenge, we'll build a prototype. If we can't, we'll give you $1,000. The website
and what's the website address?
Dothe1K.com. Dothe1K.com.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. Those who serve, save. Military families get exclusive savings with T-Mobile, America's best network, according to Ookla speed test. So you can stay connected wherever duty calls. Visit t-mobile.com/military-savings to learn more.
Vietnam-era veteran Bob Martin founded Veterans Care Charity to assist homeless veterans and struggling families nationwide. What began as a small outreach effort now distributes hygiene kits, blankets, clothing, and disaster relief supplies across the country. Martin's organization partners with community groups to address housing insecurity and health needs, emphasizing dignity and stability. His philosophy remains rooted in military values. No one gets left behind, especially at home. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
On a recent episode of Tech It Out, I caught up with Visa's Rob Cameron, Global Head of Acceptance Solutions, to talk about digital natives like Gen Z and how they're shaping the future of payments.
We talk about Gen Z didn't have to learn technology. They were literally born into it. And as a result, it makes them more open and accepting to new technology innovations we see. They're more trusting. And as this generation, which by the way, is going to represent about 27% of the workforce next year, starts to enter the economy, these fintech companies that create solutions for them are quite rightly racing to create solutions to engage them.
And Visa Acceptance Solutions is at the forefront of trusted digital payments. Build the future of payments with modular solutions, which you can learn more about at visaacceptance.com. That's visaacceptance.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and let's get to know Dan DiOrio, who's CEO of Think Forward. Dan, what is Think Forward? What are you guys doing?
Think Forward is a managed service and security provider in the healthcare space. We manage applications and cyber, things of that sort.
Gotcha. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
Providence, Rhode Island, two, a brother and a sister. I was in the middle, a younger sister and older brother.
Gotcha. And 8 to 14, what were you doing 8 to 14 years old? What were you up to?
I was kids. I was playing sports, hanging out with friends, and I had a paper route as I started at 9. I worked into it later on. I became part of a group. We worked for a fruit stand, and on and on. At some point, I worked for a restaurant.
You mentioned that you grew up without a lot of money, but you didn't know it. What are you talking about?
Well, we always had a roof over the head. And we always had food at the table, so we didn't know that wasn't wealthy. I got my clothes from my older brother that were hand-me-downs, and until I got into high school and things of that sort early on, I didn't realize that we didn't have the money a lot of kids in school had, especially since it was a tuition of 1,200 a year that we couldn't handle. I had to pay myself.
You paid it yourself, huh? Rory, give me a hand getting to know Dan, please.
Yeah, Dan, you grew up in a tight-knit Italian family as the middle of three. What did that experience just kind of show you that you bring to the table today as the CEO?
Teamwork, because you had to get along with siblings and cousins and the whole bit to get things accomplished. It was a big, the family overall was 13 kids on my father's side, and about 300 people would be at a family wedding. So it was a big family. And the group was challenging.
Gotcha. Pat.
Hey, Dan, you mentioned growing up in Providence. How did that sort of shape who you are today?
Not necessarily the city, but some of the people I interacted with young early on did a lot to make me who I am today.
Andrew.
Yeah, Dan. So you're 9 years old. You have this large paper route, employees, and I imagine you're making a lot of decisions on your own. How did that influence how you run your business today?
Well, I didn't have any employees, but what I did in the paper route, they always had problems finding people. So my paper route began small, and as they opened up other areas, I said, I'll take it. I wanted to make money. So I learned how to work in the system to develop and grow more in that regard. And it gave me some independence monetarily. I could buy my own things. I actually put myself through high school, paid my own tuition. So all of that began at the paper route level.
So you mentioned you had about 300 customers, which is a huge paper route, and you paid for your own high school?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Pretty independent, pretty responsible at a young age. Jake?
You mentioned in the green room, at a young age, you realized you had to prove yourself. What was that about, and how did that influence you?
Well, when I went to high school, I was young, I was 13 in my freshman year. And I had a couple of mentors. They were both the brothers. One was a former Marine drill instructor, and one was a All-American wrestler. And in wrestling team, you had to they made you earn it the old-fashioned way. So you had to prove your capability, your ability to be a team member, your ability to excel in exactly your weight class and things of that sort, respect for people. It was old-fashioned values, which were a good thing.
Mr. Brandon.
Hey, Dan. Telecom is a relationships business. Who taught young Dan between 8 and 14 years old that your word was worth more than a contract?
You earned that right during those period years in high school and afterwards. And so during high school, I began working for the railroad, actually. I was 16 years old back in the day, but it wasn't a big deal because you weren't 18. And I had to be a man of my word because my dad was not my boss, but he was a couple of levels above me. And I had to do every dirty job in the blessed place to make sure that I could retain my luster and my reputation. So if I said I was going to do A, I had to exceed A, or else it went back on me and went back on my father, and I would be, I was a redheaded stepchild, so to speak, of the group.
Mm-hmm. Pat?
Yeah, Dan, what was the major pivot in your life?
Three people. I had a principal in high school who was a former, was one of the guys that raised the flag in Iwo Jima. And I had these two brothers who really, really struck a chord with me. And they turned me into a man. You either became a man or you didn't make it. So they made me grow up, and I grew up quickly. From 13 to 14, I was a whole different guy. I lost 50, 80 pounds. I looked like a human being. I looked like I was muscular and in shape the whole bit. And they just, they leaned on me for the physical, but also the mental. Mental toughness to hang. And that was the more important part.
That's pretty good. Were they teammates or coaches?
Coaches.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
And Dan, you've had a lot of success in this business. You know, you understand telecom like the back of your hand. Why don't you just go retire?
Good question. First of all, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I'm enjoying, look, so a lot of people say, I love retirement. I love what I do every day. I get there. And so I did telecom. I actually sold that business. So I went from telecom to IT because it was natural progression. And it develops into new things every day. We're using AI. I'm excited because every day is a new challenge. So it keeps me hungry for more. And I can't imagine a sedentary lifestyle. I just can't. It's just not me. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from a young age, I mean, you had 300 customers in a newspaper route and you were working really hard and paying for your own high school. Your middle name is responsibility. Take responsibility, make sure things get done, make sure you deliver more than you know, make sure you keep the customer happy. So you really got some fundamental business principles and responsibility instilled in you at a really young age. You know, I assume. Were mom and dad entrepreneurial, or where'd you get this entrepreneurial instinct from?
It's funny. My mom and dad were not entrepreneurial, but they worked very hard. My mother and father both had two jobs. So when we were kids, we didn't see a lot of the parents. They were always at work. So I developed relationships with other folks. My grandfather was probably my biggest mentor on the work ethic side of it. He was an immigrant, came over in 1902, Ellis Island, and he was a blacksmith. He used to work 14-hour days. And he worked till the age of 75, and the only reason he retired was he was going blind from diabetes. But still works. The only reason he didn't work, they forced him to retire because of lack of eyesight.
So what kind of influence was your grandfather, the blacksmith, on you? How did he influence you?
Well, I called him a gentle giant. He was not well educated, but he was smart beyond his years. He had great common sense, great street smarts, and was the politest man I'd ever met. And he was a big, 6 foot tall, 240, big strong man. Even at 18 years old, I couldn't put one of his arms down with two and a hand and an arm wrestling. He was a wonderful man. He was all family, camaraderie, advice. He was just good people.
If your grandfather was around nowadays and he was aware of your success, how do you think he'd feel about what you managed to accomplish?
He'd be proud, but he'd always have an injection about what I could do better.
So he helped you appreciate what you could do and appreciate the moment. But on the other hand, there's always more.
Correct.
Uh-huh. And what's the best part of your job? What do you enjoy the most about your job?
Growth. I enjoy mentoring people. I enjoy taking employees and making them into something that I have a lot of really good people, and we have something in the business called scalability. Scaling is hard, okay? And it's taking somebody who has five hats and watering down to one. And the best part of the job is really getting those folks and making them really achieve heights and go to heights and things and sort that they don't realize they can do and become something they don't think they can achieve, and on and on and on. So that growth spurt, I enjoy watching. Some people don't make it. And it's unfortunate. But I'll take anybody, even if they fail at a job, and try to find a place for them.
So you really enjoy developing people. You really enjoy it sounds like you're in the people business as opposed to the technology business.
Well, everything we do in the world is about, you know, if somebody asked me about the company about a week ago, what's my most important asset, my most valuable? I told them time. Can't buy it, can't recreate it, can't go backwards. Yeah. When they're looking and doing something, I'm mentoring them, trying to get them to understand what they need. But aside from time, the second most valuable to me, from my perspective, is communication.
That's it. What's the website address for this organization known as Think Forward?
www.thinkforward.com, and Think spelled with a C, not a K. thinkforward.com.
We've been speaking with Dan DiIorio, CEO of Think Forward, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
Every day, thousands of women across America go for a run, expecting to return home safely. But the brutal murder of Laken Riley by an illegal immigrant shook the nation. Laken did nothing wrong. Her story is every woman's fear. It could have been anyone. Her killer should have not been here. That's why so many are relieved to see law enforcement taking action, securing the border, and deporting violent criminals. Women deserve safe communities. Yet many college campuses celebrate and vow to protect illegal immigrants. Campus reform exposes this dangerous reality. A secure border and removal of criminal aliens are essential to public safety on campuses and beyond. America's education institutions should not stand in the way. Visit campusreform.org. Restoring Truth, Correcting Bias in Education, One Story at a Time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.
Scholarships limited by race. segregated graduation ceremonies in dorms, professors labeling students as oppressors based on skin color, gender, or religion. This is DEI in action, divisive, toxic, and un-American. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. dreamed of a nation where his children would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. DEI turns that dream upside down. But there's hope. DEI is being rolled back through civil rights enforcement, federal funding cuts, and growing cultural resistance to its harm in schools, workplaces, and communities. America is strongest when united, not divided. Our universities should lead the way in bringing people together, not driving them apart. Visit campusreform.org to learn more about the fight against DEI on college campuses. Restoring truth, correcting bias in education, one story at a time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.
60 seconds of service.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. Those who serve, save. Military families get exclusive savings with T-Mobile, America's best network, according to Ookla speed test. So you can stay connected wherever duty calls. Visit t-mobile.com/military-savings to learn more.
At a Colorado food distribution event, a Vietnam veteran simply known as Tony moves constantly between vehicles loading groceries and greeting neighbors. Tony volunteers with veteran service organizations providing food boxes to hundreds of military families annually. He says volunteering gave him renewed purpose after retirement. Seeing need firsthand motivates him to return week after week. It hurts to see people struggling, he explains, but it's nice to give back. For Tony, service didn't end when he left Vietnam. It just changed uniforms. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Let's get to know Jeff Mesko, Pennsylvania market leader of an organization known as Armanino. Jeff, what is Armanino? What are you guys doing?
Thanks, Herb. We're doing tax, consulting, and accounting services for businesses and individuals across the country.
Gotcha. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm from Scranton, Pennsylvania, the second older brother and sisters.
Mm-hmm. You're the second of four from Scranton. 8 to 14, what were you doing 8 to 14 years old?
Grew up in a great neighborhood, so had a lot of kids that we always were out with, playing, played basketball, and worked in my family business starting around the age of 8.
Mm-hmm. And the family business was a glass business. And also, you mentioned that you played basketball. What was your role on the team? And what's that have to do with who you are nowadays?
Loved playing basketball. Yeah, I was the point guard. So it has a lot to do with what we're doing today, right? In my mind, it's always your organization is a symphony, putting people in the best position for their highest and best use. And the point guard position is a natural, groundwork for that.
Gotcha. All righty. Brandon, you want to give me a hand getting to know Jeff, please?
Yes. Hey, Jeff. You work with high net worth clients like professional athletes and entertainers on estate planning and wealth protection. What did young Jeff learn at home about money, legacy, and on protecting what you've built that shapes how you counsel people today?
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. So grew up in a third generation family business. You see what legacy matters and how it has impact on your community and the family around it. So that certainly drives me when I'm talking to clients about their own legacies, and finding out what's important to them really matters. It could be legacy. It could be other things. And in a big family, you sort of see a lot of different, examples of what's important to people.
Mm-hmm. Pat?
Yeah, Jeff, that's great. We talk a lot about family, a lot about the family business. Just curious what you bring to work every day from your mom and bring to work every day from your dad.
Yeah, it's a lot, Pat. My mother definitely making people feel comfortable. When people are comfortable, they're able to communicate what's really on their mind, where they want to go, what they're thinking about. My mom was great at that, and my father, a lot of things: positive attitude, honesty, integrity, and showing up every day.
Andrew?
Yeah, you're from Scranton, PA, which is a hardworking blue-collar city. You know, what about that upbringing around those types of people really influenced how you work with your clients today?
Yeah, great city to grow up in. I would say hardworking and definitely meshed between the business owners and the blue-collar workers. Seeing all sides of that coin was important to me. Growing up in the business, you had employees at all different levels, right? Managers and glazers and workers, and they all had different kind of skill sets and challenges, right? And kind of, you know, conflict resolution and you know, dealing with those challenges. It really helped me in where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm. Jake?
Jeff, you told us in the green room about your family business up there in Scranton. Why didn't you stay with the family business and run that?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed all my time at the family business through college. And we have a family rule that you have to work 5 years somewhere else, which I think is a good rule to help you grow and, you know, expand your horizons. And what I learned in my experience in starting at an accounting firm was I could take all that I've learned in both accounting, tax consulting, and that family business and apply it to other families in other industries.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Rory?
Yes, Jeff. So working at a young age, I'm curious, what did you do with the money that you earned?
Well, I should have saved it, Rory, but I didn't save enough of it. I enjoy experiences, and I think it's you know, not the typical accountant response, but I think what's important is actually finding out what people enjoy, what's important to them, you know, what drives them, right? And for me, I enjoy experiences with friends and family and travel and things like that. So that's what I did, which sort of just created more and more relationships, you know, for me over the years.
So that's different than the typical accountant where you're counseling your clients to save. You're more, you know, helping them make decisions.
Yeah, to us, that's what it's all about. There's not one solution for every family or every business. It has to be customized and what their goals are, what's important to them. You know, and I'd say I take that from my family business as well, that experience of customer solutions and service and conflict resolution sort of makes you more nimble or dynamic.
Mm-hmm. So Jeff, what was the major pivot in your life? What was the, regardless of, forget the 8 to 14, it might have happened then, but what was the major pivot in your life to date?
I would say it's going to Rome, Temple Rome, for a semester abroad, going into a different country with people. Nobody, you know, you didn't know anybody in the program. So getting out of your comfort zone, showing up in Rome, different language, different culture, just kind of transformed me into, you know, meeting new people, learning a new culture, living in a different place, getting out of the comfort zone of your surroundings was really helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. What's that have to do with who you are nowadays?
So nowadays, Herb, you have to change. You have to change almost every day, right? And get out of your comfort zone, change your thinking, learn new ways. And we're constantly talking about that. And you're also meeting different people from different backgrounds, and how you connect with them and improve their lives really matters. That I took away from that experience in Rome.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't sound like you're focusing on the numbers specifically. It sounds to me like you're really focusing on clients as people and your teammates as people. And where does everybody fit? It sounds like you're really in the people business as opposed to the numbers business. Where am I wrong with what I'm thinking?
No, you're actually right. To us, we call it a symphony, right? So it's the people business and making sure they're in their highest and best use and working together as a team to drive, you know, career growth, but also great client outcomes.
And you mentioned that the experience you had, it sounds like in college, where you went to live abroad, really travel really broadened you. It sounds like, you know, a kid from Scranton working in the family business. It sounds like you were hardworking, but it sounded like it really broadened your understanding of what was going on, what was available to you.
Absolutely. The understanding of what else is out there, so many different ways to have impact, different personalities. And then just, I would say, being in Rome and that history and the, you know, seeing how that evolved over time and the purpose of so many things you can take away from that experience abroad.
You like looking backwards in order to look forwards, it sounds like. It sounds to me like you like taking a look at the fundamental aspects of what's going on in order to be able to look into the future. So when you're talking to your clients, my bet is that you're maybe looking at the numbers, but you're really helping them take a look at what the future opportunities are.
100%. It's much, much more of looking through the front windshield than looking behind, right? And, you know, it's examining and sort of sometimes pulling out of clients what their cornerstones are, where they've been, and then developing a strategy for the future for growth, right? It could be changing something or growth, but it starts with those cornerstones and then you pull it forward.
So it sounds like because you've had that background in business, the family business, and because you enjoy scope, my bet is because you've met so many clients over the years, when you're talking to an existing client, you're able to really help them with beyond looking at the history, the numbers. You're able to sit there and talk with them about their opportunities, the business opportunities of how they can grow their business. What's the website address for this organization known as Armanino?
Sure, it's www.armanino.com.
Armanino.com. We've been speaking with Jeff Mesko, Pennsylvania market leader of Armanino, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, that's executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment, right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
This is Herb Cohen, your host of Executive Leaders Radio. And if you're a business consultant, if you consult to business owners or to business owners' team members, then we'd like to speak with you because we're getting requests from people all over the country, from entrepreneurs all over the country that are starting and building their businesses where they're looking for help. And maybe we can help connect you. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. And perhaps we can connect you to folks, to entrepreneurs and their team members all around the country that are looking for help. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
This is your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Norton.
From terrible weather to rolling brownouts and blackouts, power outages today are a major concern. And so to keep your appliances and other powered devices working, Anker Solix has a great solution. David Taylor from Anker Solix explains.
Most people know us from our battery banks, our phone chargers, mobile accessories like that. That's where we got our start.
All of the portable power stations, the easiest way to do it is just plug it into any wall socket, wait for it to fully charge. It won't take that long, and then you can kind of stow it away in a closet until the grid goes down or any other time you want to use it. A lot of models, though, are able to be integrated with solar. We do have accessories that will allow you to interface with that and
awesome.
Charge the batteries with your solar.
Head over to AnkerSolix.com for more. That's AnkerSolix.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Norton. This is your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Norton.
Nintendo Switch 2 is a versatile, hybrid video game console with three main modes, TV, tabletop, and handheld, that allow it to be used at home or on the go. Tech expert Amber Mack has the details on some cool features.
The Nintendo Switch 2 is really all the rage these days. It's great to play at home or take on the go. It has a bigger screen, great color, great clarity as well. The new Joy-Con 2 controllers snap on magnetically, which is really cool, and a bunch of games as well. My son is a huge Zelda fan, so we really love Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment. There are other games out there too, but Mark, this is kind of perfect for any gamer in your family, and again, fun for the whole family.
And a couple of my recommendations are Metroid Prime 4 Beyond and Pokemon Legends. Super fun games for the Nintendo Switch too. Nintendo.com has more.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Norton.
60 seconds of service.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. Those who serve, save. Military families get exclusive savings with T-Mobile, America's best network, according to Ookla speed test. So you can stay connected wherever duty calls. Visit t-mobile.com/military-savings to learn more.
In Cheyenne, Wyoming, a group of community volunteers, including bank employees and veteran advocates, joined forces in September to renovate the outdoor courtyard at the VA Cheyenne Healthcare Facility. What began as a simple service day turned into a meaningful community collaboration. More than a dozen volunteers pulled weeds, stained benches, and revitalized outdoor spaces near the Veteran Experience office, all to make the environment more welcoming for veterans and their families visiting for appointments. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and let's get to know Marty Judge, founder of the Judge Group. Marty, what is the Judge Group? What are you guys doing?
Well, I'm left-handed. We're involved in like 8 different corporations and AI, consulting, hospitality, staffing,
and I
training.
Understand it's about a $700 million business, and you're worldwide. Where are you from originally, and how many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm from Northeast Philadelphia, right? Born across from Father Judge High School. Mm-hmm. I lived in a row home right across from Mayfair Public School, mm-hmm. and went to St. Matt's.
Gotcha. And you're the third of 8 kids. And what were you doing 8 to 14? What kind of stuff were you up to 8 to 14 years old?
I was cutting grass. I was shoveling snow. I was serving papers, playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the things that were important.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. And let's see. Pat, you want to give me a hand getting to know Marty, please?
Yeah, definitely. Marty, great to have you here. You talked a lot about your dad and the influence he had on your life and in business. Just curious about, was he your role model, or were there others that kind of helped steer your career?
He was my role model, but he forced me. You know, it was something that I didn't want to do, but he would always make me do things. And he made me successful. I give him all the credit.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that he was competitive with you. He gave you some money to get the business started. But he also told you, keep on going and keep going for more. Brandon, you want to give me a hand with getting to know Marty, please?
Yeah, definitely. Mr. Judge, honored to speak with you here. Appreciate you being on. What did you learn early on from your father that you passed down to your son as the CEO today?
Well, being one of 6 kids and being from a large Irish Catholic family, and my dad was in the seminary for 4 years, almost became a priest. I passed down hard work and common sense. That's what he taught me, and that's what I teach the people at Judge, including mm-hmm. my son.
Nice.
And including my daughter, who's a senior at Villanova right now.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Go Wildcats.
Yes. Rory?
Yeah, Marty, in the green room, you mentioned you have ADD. So I'm curious how that's influenced your approach to building and running businesses.
I didn't know I had ADD. I was left-handed. The nuns made me right-handed, and I stuttered all through grade school and high school. I finally got out of it when I went to Villanova. And then when I looked into it, I realized that my brain, left-handed, reversed. And most left-handers have ADD, which is something where you lose interest in what you're doing and you end up starting other things. That's why I have like 8 different corporations. I get bored and I move on to other things. I was making so computers. I was making computers before Dell and Compaq.
But that actually is working as an asset for you in your career.
Absolutely. My stuttering turned in. It made me listen more than talk. And I learned more in sensitivity and just education.
Mm-hmm. Andrew?
Yeah, so you mentioned, you know, grade school, you struggled, and Villanova was really where you found your step. But there was an important year there in between when you went to Bordentown Military to prep for college. How did that year shape you, you know, as a kid, but influence your trajectory as an adult?
Well, the military school was very strict. And getting involved in the military, I got 1 year credit as military. And it just very detailed oriented. You got to make your bed in the morning. you got to show up. It lights out at 10 o'clock. It was a very strict way of working, which was very similar to my mom and dad anyway. But it educated me and got me into Villanova. That's what it did.
Mm-hmm. Jake?
Hey, we talked a lot about, you know, your father being a big spark and certainly the financial backing to starting your business. But how about your mother or maybe someone else in your family that gave you inspiration for success?
Well, by the way, my father only gave me $2,000 and I gave him 25%. I think he did pretty well. But anyway, my sister Pat, at Thanksgiving, she was a millionaire selling insurance for private planes. She would go out with the president of IBM in New York, and she would tell me, Marty, you're at Villanova. I don't have a college degree, but you'll never, ever, ever be better than me. She was a motivating force that kept driving me, and I still look up to her.
Mm-hmm. So your family was very competitive. You're very competitive with each other, with your father, with your sister, and it really drove you. And as opposed to feeling victimized or crippled because of the left-handedness and the ADD, it helped drive you further. Rory, you want to keep giving me a hand?
Yeah, I mean, the judge group has got a number of different channels, as you mentioned in the beginning, but what about you personally? I'm curious, what else are you involved with?
That's a good question. I ended up, Ron Jaworski and Dick Vermeil were very good friends of mine. They're great sports people. And they got me involved with not only the Maxwell Club, which is a football club in Atlantic City, but they got me to become owner of the Philadelphia Soul, which is an indoor football team. I replaced Bon Jovi. And then I went to China to expand my business. And I've in 08, I found out that China had no American football at all. Football to them is soccer. So I brought American football to China. The good thing is that I had Asia all wrapped up, India, everything. And what happened? COVID came and I lost $25 million. You only learn from your experiences, though.
Wow. So it certainly sounds like you're truly entrepreneurial, you know, starting this business in Asia and China. So you never stop. You keep on going. It sounds to me like the competitive nature of your family coupled with the ADD and your desire to keep on looking for more. You love challenge, it sounds like. Am I reading that correctly?
No, you're absolutely right. My mother and my brother were left-handed. All the girls were right-handed, and my father was right-handed. And when I was younger, I didn't like that, but it turned out to be a blessing.
So you enjoy a challenge, you know, and also, you know, you developed that stuttering because you were forced into a structure the nuns, it sounds like. So you, as opposed to rebelling against it, when you had the opportunity of really taking the ball and running with it, you're really driven. And it sounds like the military academy, Bordentown Military, really helped provide you the structure to help you get through and get involved with Villanova. Am I seeing that right?
Yes. I wanted to go to Villanova. They got me in. I got a baseball scholarship there. I was good friends with Tommy Tomlinson. You might not know him, but he's a senator out of Bucks County. He went there also. I'm still friends with him.
So relationships mean a great deal to you. It's not, they're not transactions. You establish and maintain long-term relationships with people.
I do.
It sounds like you got to develop that growing up on the streets of the row house in Northeast Philadelphia, where there were a ton of kids. Am I seeing that right?
You learn to be independent, and you learn how to get along. And you know who's stronger and better than you, because you get in a fight every once in a while, and you don't want to do that.
So, and you built a business at seven. You took the company public, and then you took it private, and it's a $700 million business.
It was 9/11 came. I took it public in 97.
Mm-hmm.
01, mm-hmm. 9/11 came, and all mm-hmm. the stock market went in a toilet.
Yeah.
I used the money to buy it back, and I bought the company private now, and that's what we are now.
Mm-hmm. So you really enjoy it. It's like you know how to build. Building second nature to you. And it sounds to me like the real keystone to your success is your relationships with people. People trusting you. You trusting people. Establishing and maintaining these. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, we're found. We have very little turnover. And we're constantly growing. And we deal with our failures. We deal with recessions. We know how to work with them. We've been this 56 years. So you have some scars. And you learn from your scars.
Yeah, you talked earlier about really making sure that the management really has common sense. It really is common sense. Yeah. What's the website address for this organization?
Sure. Known as www.judge.com. Okay. And if you look,
we've been speaking with Marty Judge, founder of the Judge Group here on Executive Leaders Radio. And let's see, Rory, could you give us a rundown on who we've had on the air, please?
Yeah, happy to, Herb. So we started with Dan Moscatello, the owner and general manager of the Training Center. Then Dan DiOrio, the CEO of Think Forward. Jeff Mesko, the partner and Philadelphia market leader at Armanino. And we were just speaking with Marty Judge, founder of the Judge Group.
I would like to thank my co-hosts, including Jake Leone, Corporate Interiors, Pat McGowan, Maximus, Andrew Plumley, Wisfus Bank, Rory O'Hara, Osperity, and Brandon Ross, B Marketing, for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience, because without you, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, and thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
$2.8 million to study fighting hamsters, $11 million on cat constipation, $2.4 million to see if monkeys gamble. This is how Washington spends your tax dollars, funding absurd studies through U.S. universities. Campus Reform is exposing this waste, calling out taxpayer-funded grants that embarrass our institutions. Research dollars should support real progress, medical breakthroughs, innovation, not kitten motion sickness. Thanks to these reports, hundreds of millions in grants have already been canceled. Campus Reform will keep shining a light, holding wasteful programs accountable. Visit campusreform.org to stay informed. Restoring truth, correcting bias in education, one story at a time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.